Bereavement and grief is something that impacts all of us in our lives. Some of us are impacted more than others, either with loss in our personal lives or because we work in an area where death is common. Bereavement isn't a mental health issue, but it does affect our mental well-being and can lead to some mental health issues. Now, this resource is going to talk about dealing with bereavement personally and supporting others with bereavement. Actually, what I'm going to talk about is grief. Bereavement is the loss of something, and grief is the process we go through following the loss. It's our grief that has an impact on our mental well-being. Now, the process of grief is unique to each person. We all grieve in different ways and for different time periods. We can experience shock, anguish, loss, anger, guilt, regret, anxiety, fear, loneliness, unhappiness, depression, and the feeling of being overwhelmed. Some people talk about cycles of grief where you go through stages, but even the people who developed the cycle said, look, it's different from everyone, and we don't have to go through all of them or in any specific order, so don't be tied down by that idea. What we are grieving is the loss of someone who is no longer there. The more a person was part of our lives, the more we feel the change when they are no longer there. We can also experience loss with changes in our life that aren't necessarily as a result of death. For example, going through divorce or separation is a form of grieving the loss of a relationship. Someone may also grieve the loss of a pet or the loss of a job or a physical change, loss of physical independence. What grieving is adjusting to a new normal. Our world has changed, and often in a sudden way we have no control over. Our life cannot continue as it did before. We have to grieve and become adjusted to the new way of life. As I said, the closer someone is to the dead person, or the more entwined the lives, the bigger the adjustment will be. Now, we cannot avoid grief, and it's not healthy to avoid it. It's a process we have to go through. But there are things we can do to help the process for ourselves and when supporting others. Keeping busy to avoid feelings may seem like a good strategy, but it's just avoidance and delaying tactics. Take time to grieve. Bottling up emotions is never good. There's also a saying that the more you tell your story, the shorter it gets. We need to talk about the loss, the change. We need to repeat the same things over and over. But each time we talk about it, something will seem less important and we'll leave that out. Our story becomes shorter as we adjust. It's important to look after ourselves physically when we are grieving. Sleeping and eating have a huge impact on our mental well-being and resilience, and we can often forget that. And the process of grief actually means we have physical changes and we struggle with sleep, concentration and appetite, making decisions. We can also suffer actual physical pain. Our brains and emotions are so closely linked to our physical well-being. It's possible to experience panic attacks or bodily aches and pains. We don't feel like eating, but we need to. We have to keep ourselves well physically to have energy to grieve. Now, it is normal to be more tired than usual or to want to sleep more than usual, and sometimes of fatigue. But I also find that sometimes I want to sleep to escape from difficult emotions, and that's okay. It's important that we try to maintain some positive actions for our mental well-being. And by this, I mean doing good things. We can often avoid activities we enjoy because we don't feel like it. Or we may feel guilty for enjoying ourselves at such a sad time, but don't. We need to have a break from the intensity of emotions. This is one of the reasons why children can seem to be unaffected by grief and want to return to school or normal activities quite quickly. They cannot cope with the intensity of emotions, so they need to pretend it hasn't happened to take a break from it. It's called puddle jumping. Also, people often reminisce and laugh at wakes after funerals because the intensity means that you need a form of relief. And that is different to avoiding the emotions we often do. Take time for enjoyable activities and don't feel guilty. Laughter has so many benefits and helps us cope with difficult situations. And humour can act as a buffer to stress. I've been to many funeral events where people laughed inappropriately and they couldn't stop laughing. They needed that release. Being able to laugh and remembering loved ones and funny stories is so powerful. Doing something that makes you feel good can often be a welcome distraction from the thoughts and feelings that are challenging you. You may want to try something new, develop new habits as well. Drawing, making music, reading a book, joining a new club. Now remember, there is no time limit to grief. It is unique to the individual. For most people, the pain will lessen or we will become accustomed to it. For some people, they will be unable to adjust and may need further support because the impact of bereavement has had a bigger impact on their mental health, and I'll mention that later. When supporting someone who is grieving, it can be quite worrying. Worrying about saying the wrong thing or not knowing what to say or not thinking we can make any difference. And we may avoid the grieving person. But when someone is grieving, they need support from others just to help them through the process. Just by being there, you are helping. There is no magic thing to say. The way we offer help is by listening. Listening to how they're feeling. Listening to their story, no matter how many times we have heard it. Remember that grief can be expressed through a range of emotions, including anger. And if a person directs their anger at you, it's not likely about you. We often express anger to those who are closest to us, as we feel safe to do that. I'll often tell current husband, "I'm not angry at you, but you're here, so you're getting it." We need to be responsive to what the person who is grieving wants. It may be that the person may want to have a normal conversation, so go along with that. Don't force anyone to open up. It may be that they just want somebody there to hold their hand when they cry. As I said, be patient and expect to hear the same languages and conversations over and over. Don't be afraid to use straightforward language. Say, "I'm so sorry they died." Don't say you know how they feel. Often people can think this is a supportive bonding statement. But to be honest, if I'm grieving, I don't care you went through it as well. My pain is what is hurting me at the moment. And then they may also feel guilty for offloading onto you when you have your own stuff to deal with. Besides, each circumstance is unique. So whilst we may experience similar emotions, they won't be exactly the same. Don't set expectations on what their behaviour should be. We are way past the days when we had to wear black for at least a year. We can have our own recovery without a set of rules. And also remember, the grief doesn't really go away. It's just the pain becomes more manageable. But the big events such as Christmas and birthdays will still be painful. You don't have to know the answers or exactly what to say. It's okay just to say, "I'm here for you." Things we shouldn't say is, "Oh, it's part of God's plan. Look what you have to be thankful for. They're in a better place. Time to get on with your lives." It doesn't help. You may want to help with practical assistance, cooking, shopping, organising the funeral, helping things. Perhaps take them out to have a break. Grieving may continue for some time and it will be triggered. It's common for a grieving person to feel disconnected from others. If the bereaved person's symptoms, or if it's you and your bereavement, don't start to fade or get worse with time, that may be a sign that normal grief has evolved into a serious problem and that you need help. If you or the person you're supporting has difficulty functioning in daily life, isn't moving forward, has excessive bitterness or anger or guilt, is unable to focus on anything else, they may be neglecting personal hygiene or self-medicating or isolating themselves, then seek professional help. Studies have shown that cognitive therapies originally developed for depression and post-traumatic stress disorder are effective of helping those who are grieving. We also have to be aware that for some people, bereavement may be a relief, and that's okay. We didn't want the person to die, but there is a relief their pain has ended. Or maybe the burden on you has ended. Or maybe they had a negative impact on your life. So some relief is a natural emotion. It's okay to feel relief as well as sadness. Don't feel guilty. Now, if you are supporting someone, you have to consider your own health and well-being as a priority. Only support someone as much as you're able without affecting your mental health. It shouldn't take priority over you. If you feel overwhelmed at any time by bereavement or any other aspects of life, ask for help. Access support. In my experience, people working in industries around death often develop coping mechanisms of their own, sometimes based around humour. It's called gallows humour. Some people outside the industry could deem it inappropriate, but it's necessary for mental health and well-being. So look after your mental health. You are important. With this resource, we've listed some organisations that may be helpful to help with this process. Thank you for listening, and remember, you are amazing.